Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the FNF podcast. We've got a new episode today where we're going to be doing an England over 23s and an England under 23s side. My two co-hosts will be giving the sides to me and I will be deciding which one's the best. Firstly, we've got Ewan, who's doing the under 23s. Originally, it was supposed to be a random selection, but due to Gig's past record with children, he wasn't allowed to do that team. It's public knowledge, mate. Anyone can find your name on the internet. We've got Ewan over here doing the under 23s. Hello, Ewan.
Hello there. Very excited to be the manager today. I've got a good selection of the boys out, and I think they'll do me proud.
Bringing through the youth, I see. Where are you? Is that Ewan?
So I'm in the dugout. I'm ready for the match. I'm here to partay.
What have you got to drink?
Well, I've got some water.
In
one of them, you know, the McDonald's Coke glasses.
The ones that you can perfectly fit. They're perfectly made in that shape of a can, so you can perfectly fit a can inside them.
For you,
a little bit of trivia for you there.
And then after that, kind of finish with that, we've just got the normal Diet Coke, which I might even pour in there.
Test my theory if you want that it's perfectly shaped, or maybe even the senior coach, Mr. George Newell. Where are you, Gig? I can't quite place that.
I'll come to you from Iceland this week. It's not Liverpool. This is obviously. I thought the England boys would like it, as this seems to be where they pick up a lot of their cheekers. So, you know, I thought...
Well, the under-23.
Well, you know, come one, come all. But, that was my decision.
Nice, nice. Good to see. So, what's that you're drinking there, Gig?
It is another St. Michael, you know. Someone has to be hard and drink, but it's in a can form this week. Because, you know, I like to mix it up. I don't play by the rules.
Well, I mean,
absolutely,
I'm not a big
perfect
fan of
absolutely.
Oh, lovely to see. See, this podcast is where you get facts, not just about football, about all sorts. You can get facts about Coke-sized glasses. Not a lot else.
Come for the football, stay for the Coke cans.
That should be the new motto for the podcast. I am drinking...
Hey, grey cans, and it's like our Saturday nights, eh?
So I am drinking a very uni drink that I know that you're not going to be fans of. I didn't have any beer in the house or lemonade or anything. I did have a bottle of vodka, and I've got some squash, so I thought I'd mix the two.
Uni.
In a carling glass, stolen from my local spoons because I'm a
do not
nerdy
admit
legend.
That.
They've
got
glasses,
you.
I've got
all
so
the glasses
many,
you could have stole.
Yeah, but the thing is, I've got so many bloody local spoons. It's because I go to the pub all the time.
You can only have one local, surely.
Nah, to be fair, there's only about two spoons in the whole of Leicester. But they're also not very good either. And I don't drink Carling when I go to them. I want to put that out there to any listeners who might think less of me.
Yeah, anyway, they've turned off.
To be fair, we've been going for 5 minutes and still not talking about football. So we're not really giving them the content they want or deserve. So let's move on. you guys have both sorted your 11s out. You've also got a subs bench, I believe, yes?
Yeah, we're not bloody amateurs.
This is our first combined 11. So I'm going to be choosing
the... It's also
not
a
combined
11. You then.
God, I've just had so many bloody vodka squashes. I'm off me bloody knocking.
Is it vodka, cordial, water?
Yeah.
Yeah, not just vodka and straight cordial.
Oh,
cordial
God,
is so
that.
Good. Cordial is so good.
It's a joke, I didn't know you were my
man. Cordial.
Nice. Right, so let's get into it. And I want to see what... you both got a little thing for me, haven't you? You both got a little...
Got a little PowerPoint presentation.
Oh, God, it's good. The production value is outrageous.
You can tell we paid for office.
Well, Gig did, because he didn't realise Uni gave it in for free.
Oh, maybe I wanted a lifetime membership.
Right, yeah, so let's. I want to see this little cheeky graphic we've got. Right, so Ewan, I want to see who you've gone for as your keeper, your under 23 keeper.
So, my keeper, I've gone I think it's a pretty easy choice for me.
You don't get this kind of quality content and animation on the ramble, I just want to say.
Dean Henderson.
Nice. Okay, nice. Good keeper.
Yeah, Dean Henderson, he is 23, so coming in at just the right age. He's obviously not first choice for Man United, although some may say he should be, although De Gea is picking up a bit of form. And I was wary of going for a goalkeeper that's not playing week in, week out, but you don't have much choice in the goalkeeper area. Mm-hmm. And the choice you do have, I think, even if Dean Henderson's not playing week in, week out, he is by far and by the best goalkeeper that was in my selection bracket. Yeah. He's had a positive 5.6 post shot expected goal in the league, in the Premier League through his career. So that's either shows that he's got a better than average, like a fairly better than average shot stopping ability, or he's been lucky. But I'd like to think that it's because he's got good shot stopping ability, and yeah, I think that's the easy choice for
Dino. So I am a big fan of Dean Henderson, so I think Geek's gonna struggle to beat him.
Challenge accepted. Yeah. I think Henderson was brilliant last year for Sheffield, and we've seen how much they're missing, but especially coming off Liverpool losing to Burnley. Coming off the back of the Burnley game, I've gone for Nick Pope. Nice little transition down there, if you're lucky.
Yeah, that was
on YouTube.
If you're not watching on YouTube, I just want to say, finish listening to it on whatever you're listening to it on, and then go and watch the whole thing again on YouTube. You get the full experience then.
This was a pretty straightforward one for me. I think he's England's number one at the minute. 102 goals conceded in just 90 games for Burnley. For a team that is where Burnley typically are, I think that's really impressive. 32 clean sheets. I think he had a little bit of a dip at the start of the season when they had no Tarkowski and no me. But now he's...
Yeah, you are good, to be fair.
I think they've conceded five goals in 11 games. So yeah, this pretty straightforward one for me, Nicky Pope. I also had a look, just had a bit more of a general look at his career. So they got him from Charlton, and he had spells on loan at Harrow Borough, Welling United twice, Cambridge United, Aldershot Town, York City twice, and Bury. Just
not a team anymore.
Just goes to show you, kids, never give up.
Yeah.
How old is he?
28.
28, and he's been at that many places.
Yeah, they're all on loan from Charlton. Yeah. But yeah.
His brother
Make sure you turn up for your Welling United games, because you might end up as England's number one.
Well, Nick's brother does still play. Well, yeah, he might be a bit unlucky. Although apparently Manuel Neuer played left back until he was 15 or something stupid. Mm-hmm. Definitely bollocks. But Nick Pope's brother still plays in the Conference North or whatever, the fifth tier of English football. Yeah. So we know who's got the better genes out of that.
Panorama.
Right. moving on. We'll go to the left back position. Ewan, I'll let you go first.
I don't think we will go to the left back
position. No, right back.
Oh, fine, we'll go to right back then.
The transitions are in order.
So I've gone for Reece James.
Strong.
Might be a shock for George. He might have been expecting someone else, I don't know.
Well, I just know your disregard for positions, and I was thinking. Yeah, carry on, sorry.
Okay. I was thinking of putting Tammy Abraham there, but I decided against another of Chelsea's youngsters.
He's your centre half.
I think, he has got the height, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He's doing a great job in CDM on FIFA. You've been all those headers.
For me, Reece James was the most rounded option that I could have. Obviously, we all know Trent's attacking ability is fantastic, and Wan-Bissaka's defensive ability, or ability to slide into every challenge, is brilliant. But I think James offers the most rounded and complete package, and he was what I thought I needed for my team, which you might see why I think that it might work better having James there than some of the others. But
yeah. Okay. I like Reece James, but I think there might be contenders. Although knowing that that is probably going to be Geek's choice.
He's 23 at nine.
Yeah. Oh, okay, right.
Gutted it was. Gutted.
Well, let's see.
Can tell Alex has done his research.
Well, I don't need to. I'm just presenting and judging. I don't need to know how old Villa's right back is anyway.
Only God can judge me.
Yeah. Anyway, Mr. Neil, I want to see who you've got as your right-sided fullback.
So right back, I've gone for. Oh no, he's going to do it every time. That is annoying.
This is some quality content for the visual watchers.
I have gone for Kyle Walker.
Jagger.
I think. It was a toss between him and Trippier. I think he's just been doing it a bit longer. I mean, they're a similar age. I think he's been in that top. He was first choice at Tottenham way back in 2012, I think it was. 50 caps for England. Big and fast, big and strong.
Don't forget he had a loan at Villa, Gig.
I would be good with it, to be fair. but I think 2 years ago he was the best right back in the world. I don't think he's quite at that level. But I still think he's very, very good. It was swayed slightly by my choice of centre-back as well. Hashtag spoiler alert.
Oh, don't do that, mate. They'll be on the edge of their seats.
I guess that you couldn't actually have Trippier anyway just because of his ban currently.
Well, I wouldn't have held that against him.
I did think that his ban, if we're doing this for the Euros, he'd be a little bit rusty. But if we're doing it, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Although I don't think we would have minded too much if you had gone for him.
Oh. Yeah. Actually, I've just remembered. I don't think I clarified where I was, did I?
It's too late.
Well, just for anyone who cares, I'm at St George's Park, England's training ground. Great hosting. So to the first centre back, or do you want to do centre back pairings?
We can do centre-back pairings if you want. What do you want, George?
Can do. Mine is a partnership, definitely.
That's why I think it might work better. So, centre-back pairings. Mr. Fleming, I would like to see yours first. We'll keep it going in that rotational order.
This may be a surprise, these two.
Can I guess? I'm not sure.
Yeah, go for it.
We'll let him guess.
Is one of them Wan-Bissaka?
No.
Oh, really?
One of them had been Wan-Bissaka. I'd have probably just picked you and out the call.
I was very surprised. Okay.
Is that who you wanted to guess for? Or...
Yeah. That was my guess.
Okay, how's Joe Gomez? He's injured.
But I wasn't sure if you'd still maybe put him in despite.
No, if you read the chat, Alex, then you would have known.
We all know I can't read.
So I have gone for Ezri Konsa. Oh,
nice.
Yeah, get on the boy. Yep.
Yeah. And next to him, I feel like Konsa, you could have guessed him, but next to him, I don't know if you'll have guessed, I've gone for Tosin Adebayo.
Oh, bold. Bold.
So,
He has been good for Fulham.
He's been good for Fulham, but he was so shit for West Brom.
Yeah,
but he has been good for Fulham.
A player's Fulham career doesn't revolve around one year at the Alders.
Sir Bradley is shit, isn't he?
To be fair, he played half an hour and he was great, so I think he's class. Go on, justify your decision.
So I had a few other options. The notable ones, obviously, Joe Gomez is injured. Fikayu Tomori, or if we want his full name, I cannot pronounce. God.
Give it a go.
Tomori hasn't played this season apart from 45 minutes, I believe. He's probably could be the best of the options. However, I thought I can't risk having Tomori as my centre back when he hasn't played, and Tuan Zabi for similar reasons, just not got the game time. So I went for Konsa and Adrabayo. Konsa, he's been very solid. His tackle success percentage is extremely high. He doesn't attempt that many tackles, but pretty much every tackle he attempts is executed almost perfectly.
The best don't really, do they?
Well, you don't need to.
Always says.
If you're having to make the tackle, then you've already made a mistake.
Exactly.
But if every tackle he does attempt is successful, then power to him. He doesn't get dribbled past much.
This season.
Is it never this season?
He's the only player in the Premier League who's played more than 1,000 minutes and not been dribbled past, I believe.
What a great start.
Oh, I got dribbled past once this year.
Oh, probably in the cup.
Oh, you probably weren't watching. Probably weren't.
Wins about 64% of aerial duels. And one of the interesting stats, he gets fouled 2.1 times a game, which I thought's fairly high for a centre-back. It was comparatively high.
Yeah, he's quite clever. He's quite clever at the old. If he gets the ball in a bad area, he knows how to do it.
Yeah, but the thing is,
sorry, I'm stealing your line.
He's a solid centre back.
I'm not against Esri.
Yeah, he's a solid centre back, and Adrabayo, I think, he's been pretty good for Fulham as well. There weren't that many options, and there weren't any left footed options really, which I know you're a big fan of, George, but Adrabayo has been playing as the left centre back for Fulham, so I thought a man with a bit of experience in that position, and also more importantly one that's playing, is probably my best bet.
And for an underrated side in Fulham. Let's move on then. Geek, let's see what you've got to combat.
This was the easy one. First one in there for me, Johnny Stones.
Got moves.
I actually said, I come under a lot of criticism for last year saying that I would still be taking Johnny Stones as first choice for the Euros. I still believe that he, on his day, was our best centre-back, although he wasn't getting a look in last year. And, you know, once again, I've been proven right. But, you know, it's tough being me. But, since this season, 16 starts, 15 wins, 13 clean sheets, I believe. And he's starting to add some big goals to his name as well. I think he'd be excellent.
Okay, nice.
The next one is tough. As you say, Ewan, I like a left footer, and I think we're all in agreement that England have a lot of centre-backs kind of at a decent level, but no real standout. So Cody, Dyer, Keane, Maguire, all people I thought could get in this team and I wouldn't complain about. But I thought what partnership would be best. And I thought with the elegance of Johnny Stones, the quality on the ball, I thought we needed a bit of pace and a bit of power, so I've gone for Tyrone Mings. I know you're not going to like it. But them two together, I think, would be superb. There's nothing that centre-back pairing can't really do. They play two troubles. You know, your Ferdinand and your Vidic comes to mind.
Well, Tyrone Mings can't play people offside.
Oh, good job.
I knew you wouldn't
like it, but I just thought, I'm not saying Tyrone Mings is England's second best centre back, because I don't believe he is. But I thought to go with Tom Stone, he has to be in there. I thought he's the most suited because of his pace, because of his body on the line. Yeah, guys, let's do it. Mentality. So, yeah, Tyrone Mings.
Yeah. No, I see what you're saying. He wouldn't be my choice. There'd be a fair few above him. But I see what you're saying. They could make a good duo. And
I think overall so far, Giggs' team is slightly shaping up to be slightly better. But I think that is purely just
spoilers,
because
spoilers, Alex.
Overall, so far, I can judge throughout. He has a better choice of selection of players at his disposal. Anyway, shall we move on to the left-sided fullback?
So for left back, I've gone a little bit controversial, I guess. I did think that we had Chilwell in this team, but I realised he was 24 last minute. And so, actually, I say controversial. I've gone for someone that can play left back or right back, and I've gone for the man, the myth, the legend, James Justin.
Oh, that's a very strong shout, in my opinion. Big fan of James.
I thought he's been really good this season. There are a few times at the start of the season where I think he looked a little bit shaky. But then I guess that's the lack of experience. But now he's sort of shaping up to being a pretty quality fullback. And I think he's got the minerals to make him into a very good fullback in the future.
Great goal against Stoke.
Yeah, and his versatility is a big plus for me. If James goes off injured, I could shift Justin to right back, and I might have someone else that could fill in at left back.
Also, a big fan of anyone with initials JJ. Good.
Yeah, it's strong.
Two first names, though.
Yeah, can't trust a man with two first names.
Yeah, it's like Reece James. I'm doing that.
Anyway, let's see then who Mr. Newell has got. I want to see your left back, George.
I thought this was pretty easy. I've gone for Ben Chilwell. Lukey Shaw has been unproved of late, but I think for the last year and a half, maybe 2.5 years, Chilwell sort of set the bar for English left backs. I've never really seen him have a bad game, considering how attack minded he is as well. I think he's very impressive. I think normally you see a lot of young English players, they go for a big price tag, sorry. and typically it takes a while to settle in. I think he's hit the ground running at Chelsea. I know they've been a bit shaky late, but I wouldn't really put that down to him. 2 goals, 4 assists, and 5 clean sheets in 16 games he's got. As I say, always very impressive with seeing. Great work rate, and just someone I think is going to have a long future in the England team.
Nice. I do like a bit of Ben Chilwell. Obviously, performances of late have been... That's his team around him. Big fan of James Justin as well.
I think he's been contributing to the meh performances. I personally would have gone for Lukey Shaw, but that's just...
Maybe if he had like 3 or 4 more games, I think. Okay, so before we go on to the midfield, I just want to say that in that break that we took, that the listeners won't know because our editing is so bloody good. I went and got a new drink, and it's now vodka lime. And
it's a step up.
It's vodka and lime cordial with water, and because it's not got lemonade, it's fucking rancid. But I'm gonna drink it because I put quite a lot of vodka in there. I'm not wasting it.
Vodka, lime and water, that old classic. Lucky, fix me a vodka, lime and water, will you?
Right, let's move on from my poor choice of drinks for preparation to Ewan's holding midfielders.
Okay, my PowerPoint has actually gone back to the start, so you'll get to see the transitions, I guess.
Nice. Oh, smooth. Oh, lovely.
Did you not put a transition?
Oh, that's lovely. Right, yeah, okay, everyone who is on audio listeners needs to go and watch this on YouTube straight after.
A little bit of origami turns into a bird to reveal Declan Rice at CDM.
Nice.
Yeah, a bit again, like there's not too many choices. I think like he's just simply the best CDM that's under 23, really. No questions asked. There's no one else that springs to mind, and I think Declan is the man for the job.
Yeah, I mean, I like Declan Rice. I think I think he gets overhyped a bit, but I do think he's a good player. And as I think we've established on this podcast, I don't like anyone who the media say is good.
God, you're so crazy and out there.
Indie.
Unless it's a left-wing paper.
Yeah, if the Guardian say they're good, then I'm all over it. Anyway. Right, Gig, let's see who you've got to rival that. I think you've got two holding midfielders, don't you?
So I do indeed. I've gone for the old 4-2-3-1. I would just like to say, before we go any further, that Ewan woke up one morning and said, I think England under 23s would beat the over 23s. So don't feel sorry for him if he sat there going, again, not a lot of choice, you know, but this was his doing. But so do you want both my CDMs or just the Juan?
Yeah, I think we do both. I think that
we do both. We do both.
It's structural. It's more about the function.
Oh, let me just negate this bloody technology. There we go. I'm not sharing screen.
You probably should then.
Do it again, eh?
Bueno. God, I'm good at this. So for right offensive midfield, gone for the big boy, Calvin Phillips.
Yeah, he's a player.
I've been really impressed with him this year. I didn't really see the hype when he was getting called into the England team last year, but admittedly, that's because I didn't want to watch any more Championship football after 3 years of misery with Villa. but yeah, I think he's he's Leeds' most important player. I think he's Leeds' best player. I think so key to the way they play because they just go for it so much. He's the one who sort of holds it all together. I know the defensive stats aren't great, but I bloody dread to think what they'd be like without him. I also love a local lad as well. I think he's the Don in Leeds. I mean, we can go to our Leeds correspondent for more on that. But I just, yeah, I reckon.
Does he have much of an effect on the City gig? Ewan.
Well, he has had a big effect. He lifts the mood with everyone. he's one of Leeds' favourites. And although she's from Sheffield, she did go to my university. Another of Leeds' favourites is Corinne Bailey-Ray.
Oh, so, my God, he's got that one in,
hasn't he?
But his mural, I think it's in works at the moment. I don't know if it's been completed like the Alters yet, but what I've seen has been pretty tasty.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you smell Calvin Phillips, you'd smell a big club. That's how I feel about him. I think he's superb.
Well, it's good job as it leads then, fits right in place.
Still only 24 as well, but yeah, a quality player, I think.
I did think he was a bit younger than that. On the notable alumni of the universities that we go to, Uni of Leicester isn't one. I think the best one we've got is Bob Mortimer. So
that is pretty big.
That is
Bob Mortimer is a good one.
Yeah, go, George.
Liverpool John Moores University. Not the other Liverpool John Moores. Katrina Johnson Thompson.
Oh, nice. Yeah, triathlete or athlete or something.
Yeah, yeah. Bloody good. Bloody good is what she is.
Yeah,
she's quite athletic. Jessica Manis 2.0. She is quite athletic, to be fair. Good at throwing, running, and jumping.
She's good at seven things, to be fair.
Yeah, yeah. We call her KJT up in Liverpool, but that's just us, you know.
Back at home.
Gig, I want you to show me your next holding midfielder, as we'll keep it in that function.
Oh, okay, yeah, sorry. That is my bad.
That is your bad.
Left defensive midfielder, I've gone for Harry Winks.
Shock.
Pre the eye roll from Alex. Before we hit the big time and made this podcast, I was always a big fan of Harry Winks. I think he offers something that
I can vouch.
No other English CDM offers. I think he's so composed on the ball. He can take the ball on the half turn from a defender, which sounds like a bit of a minor thing. But if Southgate really is committed to playing out from the back, like he says he is, I know he talks a lot of baloney, but if he really does want to, I think he has to play Harry Winks. I think people look at him and think he's not big enough to play defensive midfielder, but I think he reads the game so well that he gets away with it. I think if he'd asked me a couple of months ago, I probably wouldn't be able to put him in because he seemed to be frozen out a bit by Mourinho, but he seems to be getting used more and more. And I think although Mourinho can't make him grow, I think he will become a more physical player under him. And you put him alongside that that big Yorkshire muscle of Calvin Phillips, and I think they'd do a great job together in midfield.
Yeah, I mean, I do quite like Harry Winks, and I see your point about him bringing the ball forward. And you have always been a big fan of him, and you have converted me a little bit. I do quite like Harry Winks. Just not sure if Calvin Phillips can hold up that defence.
Well, I feel like they could potentially be trying to do similar jobs.
No. Not dissimilar.
Sort of in the deep lying playmaker.
No, Harry Winks is more, you know, like, keep it ticking. Calvin Phillips is your 40-yard diag.
Yeah.
Suck on that. Like, that's just because everyone for Leeds is so out of the pitch, though, I think. But
yeah. God, let's talk about how good they are.
They're just a breath of fresh air, aren't they?
Oh, God, yeah. So that Crawley team in the FA Cup. Well, hey.
So that Blackpool team.
I'd rather leave the Blackpool than Crawley. Anyway, we at least took them to pens.
Liverpool's only goal in the last four games has come against Villa. So is that Liverpool team in the FA Cup?
Anyway, if we move on, I'll get Ewan to bring his central midfielders in now. Could be an interesting couple of choices here. Lovely animations here.
We have gone for England's probably best performing central midfielder this year so far, in Mason Mount. He's been consistently quite excellent for Chelsea, actually. His who scored rating's one of the highest in the league. I think is averaging like a 7.57 at central midfield.
Before you carry on, I just want to say that I think you finding out what who scored is the worst thing that's ever happened to you.
Well, I don't think it is because I don't use it all the time, mate.
No, I normally use it, but I was quite aware of it before.
I was only having a joke.
Finding out what it is. I think you're just upset because me and Gig get to pick our teams, whereas you're relegated to just having to be in the middle.
I'm fine. I don't have to put any work in for this one, so.
Oh, like everyone then, eh?
He just gets to sit there drinking his lime cordial and vodka. He's winning.
So, I think Mount has been Chelsea's top performer so far this season. He's had very good passing accuracy, is at 88%, and he's averaging 2.7 key passes a game, which is quite excellent, actually. For me, Mason Mount is in the team. It'd be in both my overall England team and the under-23s. I think he's very good, and he's doing a very good job for Chelsea this year.
I have to agree. The more I watch him, the less easy it is to not like him as a player. And again, I think it's just my bias against Frank Lampard and Chelsea. So I do quite like that choice, Ewan. I think it's shaping up to be a fairly balanced midfield. And because of that, I think we should go for your next central midfielder based on the formation that Gig is playing. I think that's maybe the best way to go.
Yeah, so for my next midfielder, I've gone for someone a little bit more attacking. I've gone for the most talented player that Pep Guardiola has ever coached.
Oh,
and I've gone for Phil Foden.
That's a free big picture of Zinchenko.
Big fan of that, Ewan. Big fan.
Yeah, so originally I actually had James Maddison in, a bit like Chilwell, until I realised he was 24. But I don't think Phil Foden's a bad replacement. I think I'd have
arguably
Foden
better.
Yeah, I'd have Foden pushing up. He's getting around 0.7 goals and assists per 90 in the league this year. I think it was either in the league or in all competitions, which is obviously very good. He's still playing a fair bit as a sub coming on as a sub. However, with De Bruyne's injury, I believe he should get a good run of starts and hopefully be a mainstay. I think he's definitely proven he's good enough in that position. It's just obviously City have so much depth that they can afford to rotate so much.
Is De Bruyne's injury significant? Do we know?
I think it's 2 to 3 weeks. I don't think it's massive.
But that's a good five
Five games. Yeah. I think I'm going to struggle to disagree that Phil Foden is one of England's best midfielders at the moment. I actually think he's better than Mason Mount. I'm assuming that Mason Mount's maybe doing a bit more of a box-to-box role than Foden is.
Yeah, so I've got Rice as my holding midfielder, defensive-minded. Mount as a box-to-box player, keeping things ticking, and then Foden as the creative spark. Although Mount has been higher in key passes. He can definitely be creative. Although Mount's been higher in key passes per game so far this season, I do think Foden offers quite a lot. And he is left-footed, so it gives a nice balance of where they might spray the passes.
We are
lacking. I think he's the only left-footer so far in the team, and it's a bit better to have a bit of a balance.
Yeah, you want a bit of a variety.
Yeah, I think it's getting harder to leave Foden out of the City team. Like, because every time he plays, he takes his chances. I think now we've got to start looking at him as an England player. We've got so much depth out on the wing that it's going to be difficult to fit him in. And it depends what Southgate wants to play. But yeah, the talent he's got is ridiculous. It's such a good, like, a lot of the goals he scores aren't easy goals either. And no one really seems to talk about how well taken they are, if you know what I mean. I think
he's such a finisher. Another thing as well, like, he's played a few times out on the left for City when I've watched him. I can think when they played against Arsenal, I think they might have been in the cup, but he played out on the left, and when he scored that one-on-one and he just didn't, like, perfectly curve that into the far bottom corner, that was fantastic. And also,
his goal against Chelsea as well, he was playing on the left-hand side. I think he played on the right in the Carabao Cup final against Villa, and he got man of the match as well.
Yeah, he's versatile. And what you were saying about that key passes stat, like, as much as, like, that is impressive that Mount's got more, and Foden maybe plays for a team that creates more chances, you probably, like, you look at the all-round team, and in that Chelsea team, Mount is going to be the one making the chances, whereas Foden's got, like, four other people in that side who can make all those key passes, which is probably why he's slightly slacking in that stat. Anyway,
I wouldn't say it's slacking, really.
It's not slacking, but, yeah, maybe not as high as it would be in another side. But yeah, very high praise for that midfield overall. And so far, you're putting up a very good fight, I'm going to say. Think Gig, have you got next up in your animations?
So I have gone for, just bear with me while we transition.
Drum roll, please.
Yeah, I've gone for Mabus 10. I've always quite liked him. I thought last year, he didn't really didn't score enough goals that weren't set pieces, if you know what I mean. But I think he's kicked on this year. I think he's been a bit unlucky with injuries, and the red hot form of another attacking midfielder in Birmingham. We don't have to mention him, but you know, but 19 goals and 12 assists in 84 Premier League games. I think he's really good out of possession as well. Just seems to run all game. I remember when he was at Norwich, I thought he was excellent. And 5 goals and 2 assists in these last 8 games. Looks like he's just hitting form at the right time for the Euros. Just another very talented player. The one thing I would say about him is that he doesn't run a game just yet, but that's something he'll work on. I think he still plays in moments a little bit, but still a very talented player, and I was very happy to have him as my numero 10.
Yeah, I like James Maddison. And what you're saying about him running a game, as much as that's true, I don't think necessarily, say, if you in that team as well, he doesn't need to. If he's got Phillips and Winks behind him, I don't think necessarily controlling the game is what his main role is. It's more just getting those chances to put people in and to finish it off himself. And yeah, very tidy player, very tidy finisher
it's
again.
More like he hasn't got that, like, when he plays for West, he hasn't got that give the ball to me, if you know what I mean, about him.
It's not like he's always making things happen out of nowhere.
Like against Chelsea, he played really well, but he didn't do much outside of his goal contributions. But obviously that's something he'll work on. I think he'll be a brilliant player.
I like how he comes across in interviews as well. He seems like quite modest, but not a...
He's a lovely guy.
from Coventry as well.
Local-ish.
Yeah.
West Midlands boys.
We'll
move on then to the wingers. Ewan, we'll see what you've got first.
I can't remember whether I've gone right winger first or left winger first, but we'll find out.
We'll find out.
Oh, nice.
We've gone
right winger. So we've gone for Jadon Sancho.
I thought he'd be 23.
No, he's 20.
He's 20. He's that young.
Yeah.
God, Alex, read a book.
Yeah, there's loads of books about Jadon Sancho.
For me, Jadon Sancho has, for the last year or so, has been in that bracket of real elite stars, world class, some may say, and is, well, he has been absolutely phenomenal.
He had a world class season, I would say.
The numbers that he's been able to put up over the last couple of seasons, and just his performance has been absolutely excellent. And then, obviously, at the start of the season, there was the narrative of him having a poor season, which was true. He wasn't in form. However, we won't see that narrative flipped until he's again having an outrageous season. But at the moment, he's having a pretty good season, I'd say. He's got 9 goals and 8 assists in 27 starts and 8 sub-appearances. So his numbers are fairly good. I think that's about a 0.65 goals and assists per game.
Very reasonable.
And that's in his poor season.
Yeah.
He averages, I think, 2.9 key passes per 90, which is pretty fantastic. And an overall average of 7.4 average rating. So he's actually been very good. And I think he thoroughly deserves his spot on the team.
Yeah, I think he comes into like the same bracket as Foden. There's like, you just know he's going to be such a big player for England in the future. Like, it's like build the team around them, kind of.
Yeah, definitely. I do like Jadon Sancho.
Although I would say that he's shown a lot more than Foden so far.
And I think that's hard to say, really, because I think Foden's like in a team where he's not going to be able to, like, he's not going to be able to just break in and like dominate as much as Sancho has. Because at the end of the day, like, City have just got such depth and quality.
Yeah, I see what you're saying, but that's why Sancho's shown more that he's already been recognised, being recognised as like one of those proper top, like, probably he's been in the top 5 players in the world at points.
Yeah, well, and that's also maybe why he left City, because he knew that first team chance wasn't going to come. And let's say that it's probably... what do you think would have happened if he'd gone to United? Do you reckon United would have a stronger chance of winning the title this season?
Yeah, definitely. They need a right winger, and they're begging for someone with the creativity of Sancho. If you've got Sancho there when you're playing a McFred, then it's almost like you can get away with that McFred while still having an ounce of creativity in your side. But
yeah,
it was a difficult one. Like, I winced a bit when I saw the transfer rumors, because it just feels like young players going to Man U in recent years for big fees that were being thrown around, like 100+ million. It's just the pressure that comes with it now is so difficult, but he's such a good player, it would work eventually. But yeah, it's a difficult one with right midfield. Because, yeah, like you say, I don't think Pogba's got the discipline to play holding midfield, especially against the top 6 team. I feel like Greenwood's been a bit harshly treated. I know he's a bit of a lad off the pitch and he's still quite young, but I still think he's their best option there. And Rashford has to start for me, and Bruno, obviously. But, yeah, they'd definitely be better off for having him, because he's that good a player.
Yeah. So, I think we've all agreed then. Sancho is a good shout and he's going to take a lot. But then we can all guess who Gig has maybe gone for on that right side.
Yeah, this one pretty easy for me. As much as I like Sancho, Big Papa Raz has just been doing it a bit longer. If I could get him to... There we go.
There he is. Nice.
Raheem Sterling, nice easy one for me. A genuine world-class forward, I believe. I'm just going to throw some numbers at you. Just make for what you will. Last 3 Premier League seasons, not including this year, 100 games, 55 goals, 22 assists, 58 caps for England. Ridiculously, he's only 26, and he made his England debut 9 years ago now. I think he played striker at the World Cup, so we didn't really see the best of him, but the numbers are ridiculous. And I feel like if it was a foreign player producing these numbers, you know, we'd be raving about him. I don't feel like he gets talked about in that kind of Salah bracket that he probably should.
He definitely should.
I think when he came to Man City, he was a bit raw and just not particularly clinical, but just playing under Pep, he's just become like the complete forward for me. And I think it's not really thought about how he can play either side as well. But like every time I seem to play, every week he seems to play left, right, through the middle. It doesn't really seem to affect how he plays. I know he hasn't quite been at the level this season, but his goal contributions are still high. I think that's more just because of the standards he's set. Yeah, England's second best player for me.
Yeah, I think that's a very strong shout. Second best player. I thought he was actually incredibly harshly treated in the World Cup. Do you remember everyone saying, oh, he's not clinical enough? And I'm like, who else? I was always saying, who else are we going to have who goes into that position, gets into those positions? Like,
yeah.
Like, okay, maybe his final his final pass or whatever wasn't quite good enough. But, like, no one else was getting anywhere near those positions. And actually, he was more effective in the World Cup than...
Yeah, played out of position as well.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he was playing, in, like, behind Harry Kane, so...
Yeah,
you know,
nice. He's superb. No,
absolutely world class player, and I think he is a bit underrated. So that's a strong contender there. That's a tough one to choose. We'll move on to the left winger then. Left side, Ewan, who have you gone for?
Left winger for me, I have gone for another one that's might be fairly obvious. I've gone for Marcus Rashford.
Yes, nice.
So I think this year his performances haven't been particularly amazing. They've not like been ridiculous. But then I was looking at the stats, and in 32 games in what's been, some may say, a poor season so far for Rashford, he's actually got 15 goals and 5 assists. So 20 goal contributions in 32 games is nothing to be sniffed at all. And I think we've all seen Rashford's performances, and we know that he can do it on the big time. We've seen that in the Champions League a lot. I think he's got six goals in 5 starts in the Champions League this year. So he's definitely the left winger for me.
Yeah, Daniel Rashford is a decent player. I like what he's doing.
Did I say that?
No.
It's Matt Howard did.
Oh, yeah. Topical story.
Hey, busy left wing papers, Guardian all over that. Marcus Rashford, great player, very dangerous. I'm a big fan. I'm still not convinced that he's a left winger. I still think he could be a striker.
No,
I think absolutely
not a striker.
He's got no sort of movement in the box. Like for me, Cavani has to start striker.
Oh yeah, yeah.
He's the only one with any sort of poacher and thing you saw
against Fulham, yeah.
Well, I think that's so harsh on Martial. He was United's best player.
He was
United's best player last season.
Player
of the season for Man U at number 9.
He's had like 20 good games for Man U.
No, he had 20 odd goals last season.
Yeah, but like, who against? How many big cheeses did he score against?
So I'm a big fan of Marky Rashford.
We'd like you to get a bit closer to the mic so the listeners can hear you.
Sorry.
Rashford's played every game for Man U this season in some capacity.
Yeah.
Good stat. I mean, yeah. I think he's definitely showing that he is like Man United's future as well. Like he needs to stay there. Like, and I think in the England team, he should always be in and around it. But I think I can predict who Mr. Neil's gone for on the left side, and it is a strong contender against. And it is a strong contender against Mr. Rashford. So, Mr. Neil, who have you gone for?
This was pretty straightforward. I've gone for Grealish, not difficult. It's one of them, like, everyone's saying, like, I think he's got to a point now where how he's playing this season, you have to get him in the England team somewhere, and everyone's saying, where do you play him? because of the options we've got. And for me, playing anywhere, he's the one player England have, like I was saying, but that Madison doesn't have, is like, give me the ball. Only Kevin De Bruyne has created more chances than him since the start of last season. Can't speak hardly enough of him.
Kind of got that as well, surely.
Not to cut a defence open, if you know what I mean. Like, yeah, I know he's a great passer of the ball, but it's not like you're going to keep feeding him. Like, you get Kane and Sterling on the end of, like, some of the passes Greaves has been producing. And, just give us the World Cup now, if you know what I mean. I don't know. Yeah. I think on form, I would be starting him over Rashford at left wing, personally.
Yeah, I agree.
That's just how I feel. This was one of the easier choices. His form this season, but
I like Grealish, and I think on the left wing as well he is strong, because I think you'll get some people saying like, oh, I don't think he's quick enough to play on the left, and I think that's probably just more of a nobody's really noticed his pace, because if you actually watch Villa when they're breaking, or if he like just knocks it past someone, like he is rapid, like he can take on most players for pace, so I think
he's certainly got much quicker than he was.
It's just not the main part of his game, I'd say.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I think we all fairly confidently say that Hector Bellerin is one of the fastest right backs in the league. And Arsenal, in the 75th minute, he absolutely outran him over like 50, 60 yards and then bodied him, put him on the floor, and then slotted in Ollie Watkins for to make it 3-0. So, yeah, it's a part of his game that Defo works on. If you look at him, I don't know why I've just said Defo. But if you look at him 2 years ago compared to now, like his build, he's absolutely filled out. He's always been handsome, but now
if you look through Giggs history, he's just Jack Grealish topless.
Yeah, yeah. But now he's strong, handsome, and fast. So you know, yeah, he's definitely. I didn't think he needed that pace to play where he does because of how good he is on the ball. But it's just something else he's added to his game. So yeah, get him in there, Gareth.
Right, so Ewan, it's up to you now to give me your striker. This is where you're going to need a big one to keep it interesting.
So, up top, I've gone for someone that I'm going to be using as an out and out goal scorer. We've seen his talents this season, and I have gone for Dominic Calvert-Lewin.
Nice.
So the way I see the team envisaging. I'm expecting the back line to be fairly solid with Reece James and James Justin, the two first names for names boys, being able to make those overlapping runs, but also being pretty solid in that defensive line and keeping it all pretty tight, and Rice just ahead of them, sort of making things tick with the main creators being Sancho and Foden. And them two putting balls all over the place for Rashford and Calvert-Lewin either to run onto, or Sancho, Mount, James, or any of them whipping balls in for Calvert-Lewin to head home. And I think it's a fairly strong team that would work pretty well together. I can see the cohesion, see it doing quite well.
I like that a lot. I like DCL. Strong, strong goal scorer. Also, has done well for England on his chances. So
yeah, the man takes his chances. The man takes his chances.
This is a very strong side here, Ewan. And I think it's definitely rivaling Mr. Newell's team. Although I'm sure we can all guess who Gig's gone for as a striker. But Gig, if you don't mind showing anyway.
I've never minded showing, so, you know. I've gone for Daniel Sturridge. Harry Kane all day.
That was actually a genuine laugh. That was bad.
Similar one to Sterling, like, we all know how good he is, so I'm just going to throw some numbers at you. I'm just going to throw them. 155 goals in 228 Premier League games, which is the ninth best ever, which for a bloke who's 27 years old and has had a fair share of injury troubles, I think it's pretty frightening that he's already ninth. 0.68 games per goal in the Premier League compared to Shearer's 0.59. I know Shearer wasn't always playing like the top teams, but
yeah,
you know, still pretty mustard.
He did win the league.
Yeah, 32 goals in 51 caps for England, which is the sixth highest. World Cup 2018 Golden Boot. And as I say, for his age, I think this year, I think we all knew how good he was, but this year people are starting to realise this boy can mix it big time, proper big time. But yeah, I think like if he stays injury free, I think we are looking at England's best ever player. It's difficult to compare generations, but I do genuinely believe he's scoring that many goals at that good a rate. And now he's upped his assists as well, which he didn't really need to, but it just adds another string to his bow. So yeah, a seriously frightening footballer.
Yeah, we are watching greatness in the making with Harry Kane. A big, big fan of that. So they're both some very strong 11s.
Do you want me to do an overview of my tactical game plan like you?
Oh, I do. Yeah, sorry. It's just had too many vodka limes. You know what I'm like.
Oh, look. There we go. Popey lad, not going to let much in.
Hopefully.
I think I've touched on the Mings and the Mings and Sterns combination. You know, the pace and the power. With the elegance and the distribution of the Johnny Stones. Nick Pope, not great with his feet, but, you know, just give it John Stones, let him do what he does. Walker, I kind of went for over Trippier just because that Man City chemistry, that link up down that right-hand side, that understanding. Both Yorkshire boys as well, you know, they're quite funny when they do teammates for England and et cetera, which...
A nice little Yorkshire triangle, don't you?
Yeah, I really do. It's all about that chemistry. Him and Chilwell bombing up and down. Attack-minded, but not too attack-minded, I don't feel. Both do their fair share of defensive work.
Apart from Chilwell.
Mings against Stonesy, you know, we're just looking to distribute. Harry Winks will take it on the half turn, do what he does. Cut out any nonsense when we don't have the ball. Winksy, by and large, he's either looking to hit Madders, or he's looking to hit Phillips. He's gonna hit a diag, or he's gonna start sterling in down that right hand flank. Or we're just gonna listen to Jack Grealish go, give me the ball, give me the ball, because ultimately he's that good and he can go through the whole team if he wants. Harry Kane, just do what you want. He can drop in if he wants, let Grealish and Sterling go in behind, and he can spray 40 yard diags of his own. Or we can just overload that left flank. You know, Chilwell and Grealish go on holiday together, you know, so that counts for something.
And Madders, I swear, as well.
Yeah. So if Chilwell's overlapped.
They're all popping their group pills, chat, aren't they? Their group chat is called the Avengers, I think.
Yeah, it is.
But yeah, I quite like when they went on holiday, they were like, who's better, Grealish or Madison? You know, they made fun of it, which I quite like. And that's why this team's so good. But yeah, Chilwell's overlapping runs. Grealish frees up Grealish just to put in Kane and Sterling, who are two of England's best finishers. Or Madders, you know, if he fancies it, who's also been banging in goals for fun. But yeah, the Yorkshire triangle, the Ibiza lads link up of Madison, Grealish and Chilwell, and then possibly England's greatest ever player. That is the brunt of my team.
Yeah,
it is his wife's birthday today, so...
What, Harry Kane?
Yeah.
I'm sure he'll be happy then that Giggs said he's the greatest player ever because it's his wife's birthday today. They're two very strong teams. I like the way that you said that. I think also that front four could be very fluid in the way that they play, and you could just sort of have them just mix and match, just be wherever you want to be as long as someone's in those positions, because they're all good enough to do that. So I wanna see the sub benches, because this may change the game. So Ewan, I want you to quickly run through your bench. Who do you think is going to maybe make an impact?
Okay, so unlike George's team, where he doesn't necessarily need to put a sub goalie because he's got Kyle Walker, who's so bloody good in goal. So I've had to go for Aaron Ramsdale as my first sub, I think.
Is Kyle Walker, was I right in reading that he's the last English goalkeeper to keep a clean sheet in the Champions League or something?
I think it's like 100% save percentage. something stupid, but yeah.
No, I think it might be the clean sheet one, to be fair.
I think it's make a save, but yeah.
Aaron Ramsdale, I think there's not really any other options. And it's not necessarily scraping
He's just been a bit unlucky with who he's played for as well, to be fair.
Yeah, I think Sheffield just have been a bit unlucky and haven't been the best so far. So no qualms against Ramsdale. I think he's still pretty decent. I've gone for Ben White.
So yeah, good player.
Gone for a bit of versatility here. Someone that could take the place of Adrebayo, Konta, or Rice if we needed to, or even maybe take Foden off and go for a 4-2-3-1, or Mount off and go for a 4-2-3-1 if we're in the lead and need a bit of solidity. Put a bit more of a defensive-minded player in. He's been playing a lot at CDM, and I was contemplating having him as my centre-back, but I decided Adrebayo instead. So for his versatility, I've gone for Ben White. And then if we need some more creativity, although with what we've got at the moment is pretty decent, we have got TAA, George's favourite.
But he can play in midfield.
Well, he could easily play as a centre mid. He's got the minerals to do so. Well, definitely, yeah.
He was very creative against Burnley tonight.
Well, yeah, he can do it all. He's a Champions League, Premier League winner. One of the most important players for Liverpool. So yeah, TAA is the man for me. Then the next player we've got, again, in the versatility, but also someone that can add a bit of a spark down the left channel if we need it. He can get goals, make things happen. We have gone for Bukayo.
He is such a lovely bloke. I'm a big fan of Bukayo Saka. Big fan. I can see why he's not in the side. I can see why he's not on the side, but he is. I love him.
I thought it might be trying to fist him in a bit too much. Bad choice of words, but I don't know. I thought maybe at left back, like, it's better to go with more solidity, especially with the attack that we're facing. But definitely, if we need that extra ounce of creativity, we're bringing on Bukayo, and that smile's getting past anyone.
Cheekbones also.
He has got pretty good cheekbones.
Who's better though, Gig? Bukayo or Jackie Grealish in terms of cheekbones?
Jack Grealish.
Okay, nice. Jack Grealish got a beard, doesn't he? So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So do I.
How old is Saka?
Like 19
or something.
Ridiculous. Yeah.
Oh, I thought he was even young. I thought he was like 17 or something. Like,
don't be crazy.
Few youngsters in this team, aren't there?
Well, you are the 20
general friends.
So next player. Oh, so this might be a bit controversial, but I was thinking,
doubting it.
If I need someone to come in the midfield, I'll go someone that's already got England experience, playing at one of the best teams in the world. I've actually gone for Jude Bellingham.
Yeah, strong.
So I think I've gone for someone that's young and hungry. The people that are starting this game in the midfield, I think he could probably, depending on what we needed during the game, he could play a different role. But they all know that there's someone young and hungry, ready, just waiting for their position. If they're having a bit of an off day, Jude Bellingham's ready to come in and be the man for us.
Already got a cap as well.
Yeah, well, that's what I thought. I need to go for someone with England experience.
Yeah.
I was contemplating maybe having Davis, and there are a few others, or Curtis Jones, but ultimately...
Tom Davis is bold, I would say.
Tom Davis,
he's a versatile bloke.
I would have thought if you wanted someone young and hungry, you would have gone for yourself, but that's just me.
I think Jude Bellingham is obviously extremely talented.
It's not a left field shout when you look at what he's done so young, if you know what I mean.
Yeah,
he's like 17, 18, isn't he?
He's 17, and I thought if we've got the opportunity to have him in, like he could turn up. It's a bit like you were saying with your England team, go for some young and hungry hungry players, George, but maybe that was just to try and get Matty Cash, who's not had a cap in.
Broke.
So next...
I didn't want to make that joke, but...
I was kind of worried, knowing the pedigree of some of the attackers in George's team, I was thinking we could go down to start with. And I thought, if we do go down, there's only one man to call. Oh. And we've gone for Harvey Barnes.
Yes!
Barnes!
And now Harvey Barnes. Oh, it's an equaliser. Harvey Barnes. Get in.
So, ooh, if we need an equaliser, when we go down, yes. We bring Harvey Barnes on. I'd play him. We could play him wherever he wants. He's that bloody good. I do love Harvey Barnes, and I think he could even be pushing to take that left wing spot. Maybe.
I don't see why he wouldn't have a shout of being in the on the plane at least.
I thought when I thought like until when we did the combined 11 for Man U Liverpool and you explicitly said that Rashford's not a striker. Apart from that, I would have thought that you'd have gone Rashford through the middle and Barnes on the left wing. Because I know you like anyone who's put on the Tesco carrier bag in there at any point in their career. So
to be fair, how good he was at the Albion,
he was pretty good.
Like there was a reason why we dropped from the automatic spots after he left.
And he got recalled after half a season.
Yeah, and like then got put straight into the first team at mid-table Leicester, and like look at him now, like he deserves it. Like, I mean, I'm not saying Darren Moore taught him everything he knew. because he definitely didn't, because have you heard Darren Moore talk? But God, I just love Harvey Barnes, and he's
you just know Darren Moore sits at home going to his wife every night. Ah, that Harvey Barnes, he played for me, he did.
Yeah,
I had him at West Brom.
All right, Darren, all right. Yeah. There's a reason you're at Doncaster now.
Yeah, he's a tremendous player. We are all big fans of Harvey Barnes.
No disrespect to Darren, by the way.
Yeah. I do want to clarify, I love Darren Moore.
Harshly treated, I felt.
Harshly treated, nearly kept us up. And he did, when he was a player, score a goal that got West Brom promoted. So, you know, he scored from the halfway line once, which you wouldn't expect from a bloke who...
But at least we've kept Darren Moore alive.
Yeah. I mean, he listens a lot. But yeah, as Ewan goes on to his next substitute, his final one.
So yeah, it was out of Mason Greenwood and Tammy Abraham, really, this one.
You've gone for the right choice.
And yeah, I thought that Mason Greenwood is probably a better player. I think Tammy's been more consistent because he's had more time. Mm. But I thought ultimately I wanted someone that maybe offers something a little bit different. Because he could go play through the middle, Greenwood, or play on the right. Whereas I thought Tammy might, I thought Tammy might not offer that much different to Calvert-Lewin. So I thought I'll go for a different threat, and thought Greenwood was my man.
Yeah, I agree.
I would ask what happens if big strong Tyrone Mings goes through DCL in the third minute and he gets cropped. What happens to your game plan?
Greenwood comes straight on.
This crossing game plan, like...
It's not necessarily a crossing game plan.
Oh, retract.
Well, Jadon Sancho can do it all. He can make something out of nothing. And
he can beat Mings in the air.
The passes that I see Foden and Sancho slipping through Mings, it would be incredible.
When Grealish and Sancho are playing together for England, though, I mean... I know it's only one game, but one guy stood out, if you know what I mean. Grealish even went over to his wing and was like, no, give me the ball. There's so much space over here. What are you doing?
Do you think he actually said those words?
I reckon he did.
I think that'd have been a bit rude, you know.
Yeah, but they're mates, so it's okay.
Yeah, true. Yeah, Grealish is mates with everyone, according to you.
That's because
except the bloke he drove into the back of the van.
Yeah, that was reckless, but...
Yeah. Well, we don't condone that behaviour on this pod because everyone looks to us for moral guidance.
Funny though.
Bloody lad. It was absolutely amazing when Gareth Barry stole that taxi.
Oh, God, yeah. He wasn't the only one. Jake Livermore was involved and he's still in the team.
Myhill as well?
Yeah, Myhill and Hal Robson-Carnu. So, to be fair, three of them are still at the team.
The Welsh boys.
The Welsh boys and Gary Barry. Yeah, so going back to the proper stuff. I really think that is a very strong bench. I like the attacking options in Saka, Barnes and Greenwood. Big fan of Greenwood in that he is a very versatile player, and I think Harvey Barnes can do anything he wants. Harvey Barnes.
Get in.
he is probably what's going to win you this subs bench in my head, Ewan. So, to rival then.
Giggs got many Leicester players on the subs bench, so.
Yeah, but he's probably got Danny Ings on there, so it's all right.
Spoilers, go on.
You know that I've not seen these teams before.
I don't think it's too hard to guess that
Danny Ings, who's scored loads of bloody goals, is in the team.
Well, I was thinking about starting Sturridge, so I went for him on the bench. And
yeah, we banner. Has he got a club anymore?
He has an 18-month ban from football, I think, for betting.
Oh, yeah. He was at Trabzonspor, wasn't he?
Yeah, in Turkey.
Another sidetrack, but one of the best football tweets I've seen was playing five-a-side the other day, pulled my hamstring, and then a firework went off. This is how I imagine Daniel Sturridge's time at Trabzonspor. That is me. That is just superb. GK, gone for Jordan Pickford.
Nice.
Could make a case from starting, but just too many individual errors. But ultimately, short back and stomping, he was the man for England at the 2018 World Cup. A lot of experience for a man of his age. And I do feel like that indecisiveness in his game and that lack of concentration will be ironed out. But at the minute, Pope is numero uno. Right back, I've gone for Harry Maguire.
Right back. On the bench. Firstly, I think we've missed out on Sam Johnstone here, but we'll move on from that. It's fine.
I would have had Ben Foster, but...
He's
been retired for 9 years, so...
Yeah.
He retired while he was still at the Albion.
Would you genuinely think Sam Johnstone is worth a place on the bench?
Potentially,
I think he's a potential third choice.
Well, this is second choice, but all right.
Yeah, no, I know. I was taking this anyway, Gig. Don't worry about it. But yeah, no, it's fine.
I normally play two goalkeepers on the bench, but that's just me.
I normally just play two keepers. Hard to score then. So you've gone for Aaron Maguire.
Like I was saying, there's a lot of centre backs at a very similar level. I think initially I went Michael Keane, but then I just think apart from this season, he hasn't shown enough. Connor Cody's getting pulled off, not literally. Connor Cody's getting taken off after 70 minutes when they're losing in their biggest derby of the season.
Can we talk about that for a minute? I wouldn't mind talking about that.
We'll talk about it after the pod ends.
I couldn't put him in.
I think Eric Dyer will be there or thereabouts. I know he gets a lot of stick, but I think he's such a Mourinho player. Got that bit of fight. Yeah.
Any Wolves fans are 3-2 argue Connor Cody should be in this team, though.
Like I was saying last week, I'm a bit kind of bored of the Harry Maguire stick. I think he is a good defender. As I was saying, he's not an £80 million defender, but that's more because of how Man United get sort of taken to the cleaners in the transfer markets because the revenue they make. I still think he's a very good player. I didn't put him alongside Johnny Stones just because I think that's lacking a bit of legs, if you know what I mean. And if realistically we're going to come up against France at some point, I'm not overly confident against Mbappe, etc. I still think he's a very good player. And what he did to them Greek police was pretty great. So
them bloody foreigners.
Next up, I've gone for K-Trips. Again, bit of not versatility, but you know,
wing back, can play on the left, can play on the right.
Just a very usual player. plays under one of the best coaches in the world. Probably worth it for the Euro 2018 nostalgia. World Cup 2018 nostalgia. Yeah. But yeah, just
he is in Europe's best defence as well.
Yeah, but
well, even at the moment.
Well, true. He's got the old Bannerini, but yeah. The 10-week ban affected it a little bit because if he's going to be rusty for the Euros, and he just hasn't been doing it quite as long as Walker. But yeah, still a quality player and a set piece option off the bench as well.
Yeah, I was thinking that on your side. I wasn't quite sure he's taking the free kicks. Maybe Madison or Grealish, or Kane.
Madison, Kane, Phillips. Grealish didn't take. I think Phillips is always more for long free kicks. But yeah. Madison scores a lot of free kick goals. Mm. Kane's obviously a good enough striker, and Sterling put one away against Palace, didn't he, at the weekend?
Yeah, true.
Which was bloody lovely.
Moving on.
Yeah, you got the options for depending where.
And Trippier took his penalty brilliantly against Colombia. And then I've gone for James Ward-Prowse on a similar kind of set piece vibe. Much improved this year, I think. I'm still not his biggest fan, but I think he's added a lot more to his game. I still think he's reliant on his set piece, but my, what a set piece it is. I think his technique is as good as anything I've seen.
I like James Ward-Prowse.
Just a very useful, again, extra time, free kick in their area, penalty, you know, just a useful option to have. Before we go any further, I think Ewan's absolutely smoked me on the forwards. I was struggling to...
Ewan's bench is looking a lot.
Struggling might be harsh. I think in terms of defence, I've got him absolutely...
Oh, yeah.
I'm still skinned, but, I haven't got Ramsdale. But in terms of wingers, most of the variety seems to be under 23. I've gone for Ross Barkley.
Not a bad shout.
I was thinking Dele Alli because of the number of caps he's got. I think he's got like 37 caps and he's 24 and he still hasn't played for England for about a year. But ultimately, I can't see him getting much game time unless he moves and Tottenham don't want to see him to let him go. I think Barkley's really added something to the Villa team. He's taken some of the weight off Grealish's shoulders and we can now create a lot more because people aren't just trying to man-mark Grealish out again. And again, not huge versatility, but a decent amount. Can play as a number 10 or an 8, so maybe take Winks or Phillips off if you're losing and move to a 4-3-3.
I like Barkley.
Yeah, and he's just got a bit of power that a lot of our attacking midfielders don't have.
He's still a bit raw, isn't he?
Yeah, I think he has worked on it. I think if you watch him play against City, he looked like a player who hadn't played for 2 months. But I think if he stays fit, he's got to be on the plane for me. He's a very, very talented player. Right wing, this is probably my most left field of the lot. I've gone for Jarrod Bowen.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure he's over 23. If that's what you're arguing, Ewan.
Oh, is it? I thought he was younger, but
No, he's definitely.
He's 24 certainly.
Oh, okay.
I think if you looked at his goal numbers, it probably wouldn't amaze you. But every time I watched him play, I've been impressed with him. I think he's just someone who'd be useful to bring off the bench as well. Quite a powerful runner, quite fast. I think he'll only get better as well. I think his stats this season have been a lot better than they were. Last season. But as I say, the options seem to be with the under 23s on that one.
Jarrod Bowen's a good player, though. He is
24. He was a month ago was 23. Yeah.
He's got the exact same birthday as my dad. If anyone wanted to know,
he was pretty bloody brilliant for Hull, though, wasn't he?
Oh, he was fantastic. I think when him and Grzycki left, that's why they got relegated. They were the only two people.
Of a West Brom plug there.
he's hardly played for us, but like it genuinely.
I think Bowen was more of the.
It was Bowen, but then it was like if Bowen and Grzycki together had like 30 odd golden assists, and then apart from those two, there was nobody else in there.
But yeah, like when they got Bowen, like, I think everyone thought it was a good signing. Looking at his record for Hull, and you look at some of the talent they don't play, like Yarmolenko and Felipe Anderson.
Keeps them at the team.
And just a massive engine as well to bring off the bench. you know, never stops running. And then, yeah, striker Danny Ings, pretty easy, banging them in for fun. And similar to Calvert-Lewin, when he's had the chance for England, he's done really well. And one of them players who's a bit unlucky to be in the Harry Kane era, but a very good Premier League striker.
Yeah, talking of that, I've seen him being linked to Tottenham.
Oh, that's a weird move.
I think he's
they do need a backup.
He's too good for a backup, surely.
Yeah.
But then, if he wants his chance to play Champions League, then Tottenham's the only place that I could see him getting
there. Yeah. Well, I mean, I think Ings is class, and I think, like as Kim said.
I don't know. If Origi goes, then you could see him going back to Liverpool, really, couldn't you?
Yeah.
They'd have to fork out for him, and I think they might not want to do that on principle.
Yeah, true so.
Because sometimes football clubs, and especially Jurgen Klopp, can be too proud.
Yeah, wouldn't that City to have a striker either, but I don't think he's the sort of player they're going for.
No, and with Jesus, I think it would be a bit too, like, I know, threatening for him, maybe.
Well, to be fair, I feel like if Tottenham don't get Champions League this season, if I was Harry Kane, I would leave. And
stop spreading negative vibes.
Well, Danny Ings could be a good replacement.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's by the by.
That is controversial. I feel like that's an issue for another day.
Yeah, we'll talk about that another time. Okay, boys. So we've looked through the teams and we've looked through the subs bench. And before I make my final judgment, I want to say they are two very good 11s. And I think it is actually quite a tough one. But we've got
Chief
little...
advisor.
We've got a little guest appearance from, as you say, the chief advisor, my younger brother, who I think was actually quite reluctant to do this, but he's done it anyway. So we'll have a listen to what he said and we'll take it on board.
I think defensively, each team is a bit better because there's a limitation in the centre-backs for under-23s for England, and I just don't think they're very strong, to be honest. Fullbacks, there's a lot of them for under-23s, but I just think Walker and Chilwell are probably better. So I think the defence is better for Gig, but I think midfield, I think Ewan's probably one that the central midfielder, because Rice is class, so is Martin Foden this season. And I think the same, to be honest, with the attack, is Calvert-Lewin's banging goals. I mean, so is Kane, but Giggs got really out on the left, and to be honest, I think he's better out in CAM. I feel like the attack for Ewan is just a bit better with Rashford and Sancho on the wing as well. I also want to say I think Giggs should drop Alvin Phillips for Gordon Henderson as well. He's just a lot better, really, isn't he?
No chance. Interesting words from...
How's he going to argue that your front three is better than Kane and Sterling?
I mean, I think, I'm not going to lie, I think Ollie's actually putting some very poor shouts. I think
would say not.
But I think him, because he's got Grealish, your team.
Grealish
is better on the left.
That was dodgy. But Ollie Ford has spoken. So,
I think he's spoken as a true FIFA player. With Sancho like being better than Sterling.
I don't know, Sancho, for me, Sancho is actually better.
Anyway, what were you going to say?
Never!
Oh, come on, look at his contributions.
Sterling's been doing that for like 5 years. He's not doing anything that Sterling hasn't done.
But I would like to say, my other prediction was that George would manage to not have Jordan Henderson in the starting 11 or bench.
Yeah, I think that is pretty outrageous.
I don't think he adds anything to that England team. I appreciate that he's an important player for Liverpool. But, you know, leave a comment in the description of a great game that Jordan Henderson's had for England. And I'll maybe consider it, but, you know, I probably won't because I'm a lad.
I couldn't leave a comment for, like, anyone's great game for England apart from, like, the Harry Maguire banging in the header.
Well, I think we need so much more spark than that. I appreciate that Liverpool are a better team for having him in him, but it's just that workhorse.
I feel like he could take the place in your team of a Winks or Phillips.
No, he's nowhere near as good on the ball. Mm. He's a glorified jogger, is what he is.
Well,
Winks and Phillips could play for so many teams in that league. Whereas I feel like if you put Jordan Henderson in like a Newcastle or a Burnley, you wouldn't really notice
much difference. I actually kind of see where you're coming from there, Gig. But I agree that overall, I think George has a stronger defence, but that's kind of put down by the fact that you've put Tyrone Mings in it, because I definitely would have put Harry Maguire in there. I do see part of your argument, but I genuinely don't think Mings is...
There's no pace there, though, if you play Maguire.
I know, but you don't necessarily need it. If the defender's good enough, their positioning should do you. And I think... anyway.
If you had a world-class centre-back, but...
I wouldn't actually put Mings probably in England's top seven centre-backs. But then, if it was my all-time... Well, not all-time, but overall England 11 right now, I'd put Konsa in anyway, who, obviously, Ewan has. So, overall, defensively, it just about goes to Gig. The midfield, I am going to give to Ewan, because he's got Mount and Foden. But up front, Gig has the better options in Kane, Sterling and Grealish. I think that is an insanely good team going forward, especially with Madison in behind. I think Ewan has a much more exciting bench. Like, I think if you swap Gig's team for Ewan, if Gig's team with Ewan's bench, that is a very naughty. Harvey Barnes, isn't it? That's all I've got to say, really.
Yeah, I was definitely limited for wingers.
Yeah.
There's just so much more excitement with Barnes and Saka.
As I said, Sterling and Kane will be like two of England's greats, and Greenish is one of the most informed players in the league right now. So
yeah. So overall, I think that this game, if it was to be played out, would finish maybe 2-1 to Gig's team, maybe 3-2. I think it'd be a high-scoring game. I think it would just about edge towards George, but I think you two have done a very good job of assembling your 11s, so I would like to congratulate
you. Thanks,
man. Thank you. And thank you all for watching.
Yeah, and I mean, if you haven't watched on YouTube, as I've said before, get onto it right now, because it is a completely different watch, really, isn't it?
Mind-blowing.
Different experience.
Anyway, so we are running out of time. So I'd like to say thank you to everyone who's listened. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. All the links will be in the description. TikTok is doing very well. Some great content on the TikTok, thanks to Ewan.
Coming up.
Tell your friends to listen, because that's the best way you can do it, because obviously with such great content like this, it's got to be shared to the world, hasn't it?
Tell your friends, tell your mother, tell your father, everyone you know.
I mean, as the weekend once said, go tell your friends about it.
And I mean, so obviously to make up for my dad not listening, because he doesn't think that listening to 3 19-year-olds talk about football is very interesting, get your dad to listen. He can be my dad while he's listening. That's not weird.
While he's putting the bins out.
And on that note,
we'll leave it there. And thanks, guys. And we'll see you again soon.
Goodbye.
Ciao.